book of John, and today we are going to go through First John chapter 3, starting from verse 6. And if I give a topic today, the topic is going to be the children of God and the children of the devil. And if you go through these few verses, it will become very clear to you. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 6 says, as we continue, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Now I'm going to stop there and continue from the second part of verse 10 next time. It is here I come here to teach and to preach the word of God, not according to my reasoning, but what the scriptures has to teach. So I cannot get away from the scriptures. If I preach according to my reasoning, then it's going to fail because it's human. But God is true, and he knows the end from the beginning. As the scriptures say, let every man be a liar, let God be true and every man a liar. So last week we saw that Christ was manifested to take our sins, and now John, he continues in the same. And here we see that from verse 6 to 10 we see the true Christian. Who is the true Christian? Who comes from the seed of God. And also we see the professing Christian, you know, who has an outward, external way, say they are Christians, and all the unbelievers, they are of the devil. So it's very clear if you go through these few verses, and I will try to, this is not very heavy theological today, it's really plain. But before I go into that, I had to go to the very beginning, to Genesis 3:15. So if you turn with me to Genesis 3:15, we have to see the beginning of this seed here. The seed, the children of God and the children of the devil. And here Genesis 3:15, when Adam and Eve was caught in their sin, God brought them the people who are guilty to his presence. There are only three parties who are guilty, and that was Eve and Adam and Eve and Satan. There is no other anybody else. And God is the witness. And when God brought them, he said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, we have studied before that there are two seeds coming here. The word seed in Hebrew is zera. It means an offspring or descendants. So here there are two descendants that will come. Of course, Eve is the mother of everybody, believers and unbelievers. But out of Eve will come the Messiah, the seed. And also will come the children of the devil, the fallen nature of Adam. But when God prophesied this to Adam and Eve, that out of you the seed will come, who is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Eve was very excited. She thought this is going to happen in her lifetime. And when she bore Cain in Genesis chapter 4:1, she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And that was Cain. And she thought, this is the man. This is the one who is going to take revenge and take, who will bruise the head of the serpent. But of course, we know the story that Cain was a murderer as he killed his brother Abel. Then we see in Genesis chapter 5 and also all the way through, when we see it is from Cain's descendants came all evil. Wickedness came from Cain's descendants. Then from Abel, he couldn't have anybody to come from his seed because he was killed, but God provided another, that is Seth. So Seth's descendants were the godly line that came. But eventually you see, but eventually this godly line and the wicked people, they mingled together, they got married, and there was sin all over. And God has to destroy the earth. So we see very clearly the people since the time of Genesis to the last day on earth, before Christ comes, there are only two groups of people. That is the seed of Christ and the seed of Satan. The seed of Christ are the true believers, and the seed of Satan are all unbelievers, including the hypocrites, are the people who profess to be Christians, but they are not genuinely regenerated. It includes all the religious people who are not truly regenerated. Now, of course, we know this, that these two seeds that is coming all the way through, they are not very friendly to each other. If you're a true Christian, you will have enmity between your unbelievers. That's what the Lord says, there is enmity. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and the woman's seed. So there's always hostility. Enmity, hatred, it's not friendship. Because there is a time that you will come head to head in your moral beliefs. Romans, we know that scripture 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity towards God. Now let's see from verse 6 here, 1 John 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. The Greek word for abide is meno, M-E-N-O, which means to remain in Christ. It means to live in Christ. And this is in present tense. It doesn't mean abided in Christ. It means present. It means an ongoing abiding in Christ. It doesn't mean that we come to church on Sunday morning and abided in Christ, then we leave him and we'll see him next Sunday. Okay? This is the present tense. It means always abiding in him. So, verse 6 is very clear here that whoever abides in him, okay, does not sin. If you remember, in the book of in the gospel, we saw there was a man, a certain man who had devils, and he didn't wear any clothes. He was totally naked. Where did he abide? He abided in the cemetery. Okay? That's where he abided. But the true Christian, if you live in a home, and in that home you're living with a person, you know that person very good. You see him all the time. And you see him and you know him. So if you see a person that you live all the time and you know that person, you have a relationship. In the same way, 1 John says here, verse 6, that whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So if you're not abiding in some, if you're not abiding in Christ, if Christ is not there in your life, in every place you go, everywhere you go, there is Christ in you. But if you're not abiding in Christ, you don't see Him. You don't see Him and you don't know Him. You may know Him maybe for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Christ is a stranger then to you. So there's an intimate personal relationship here. Because the only way we know Him is what? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Through prayer. Through fellowship in Him. Now if you turn with me to John chapter 15, where we read early morning, John 15, 1 to 7, Vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. So here we see the true Christian, he abides in Christ. In the vine, Christ is the root. Okay? He is the root here. He is the root of the vine, but we don't see the root. We don't see Christ, do we? Yeah. In the vine, the root is Christ, but we don't see. He's unseen, but our life is hidden in Christ. That's what the scriptures say. Our life is hidden in Christ, but the root, it bears the tree. So there are, just like there are only two seeds here, there are two kingdoms. Two seeds, two kingdoms. The branches that bear fruits, and the branches that does not bear fruit. True Christians and unbelievers. These are people who profess to be Christians, but their Christianity is external. But it's not an inward relationship. And these are the hypocrites. These are the children of the devil. Now, they may know, they may say that I know Christ. They know Christ only in the church for 1 hour. But the rest of their life, no more Christ. But if you abide in Christ, you're a new creature. You're governed not by your feelings, but not by your emotions. You're governed by Christ. By the Holy Spirit that lives in you. He will give you a thirst and a hunger for the Word. When you fall into sin, the Spirit will be grieved. The Bible says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be grieved in you. And you will come to repentance. You will come to terms at once. You do not want to break your relationship with your Master, because you are always living with Him. If you break that relationship, you see and know Him, then you're not in talking terms, right? So you don't want to do that. So that's why you come to terms immediately in repentance. And here we see, if, when you're in Christ, there will be fruit. That's the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. The person who says who is truly regenerated, and the person who says he's a Christian but really not a Christian. The difference, yeah, is the fruit. Here John talks, in the first John, he talks the same thing, he talks his righteousness here. Okay, but he's talking the same thing here. The fruit. What is the fruit of the believer? You turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. As these fruits, you will know you are bearing these fruits in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit, so the Spirit that is in you give you these fruits. These are fruits that will not come from earthly fruits. These are heavenly fruits that is manifested in you because of what Christ have done for you. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, when it says love, it's not, we are not talking worldly love here. We are not talking just hugging and kissing here. This love means it's an agape love. It's an unconditional love. It means that you can love your enemy. That kind of love. Can you love your enemies? That's the fruit. That comes from heaven, not from earth. So, if you say, I hate this person, and we are going to see that later, that's no fruit here. So we need to love our enemies. Joy. What kind of joy is this? This is not the worldly joy again. This is joy unspeakable. Okay? This is a joy that you can have joy even when you're in trials and tribulations. Just like Paul and Silas, they were singing joyfully the hymns in the prison, in jail. Peace. What is peace? You have peace. That means you're not worried anymore. You don't have these worries all the time. I'm worrying myself too much. Because if you worry yourself too much, you're in control. You know? There will be peace in the times of tribulations, trials, and even making decisions. You just trust in God and you have that peace in you. It's just like during the storm, everybody was, you know, Peter was shouting, we are going to die, but Jesus was peacefully sleeping in the storm. Then the other one is long suffering. It doesn't say short suffering, it says long suffering. And the sufferings are long sometimes, and it is hurting, but you need to have long suffering. This is one of the fruits. Now, if you have this, you're on the right track. Gentleness. What does gentleness mean? This gentleness means not a person who is, you know, who looks very, that everybody can trample you or anything like that. The word gentleness here is like a wild horse under control. Very strong. That means he can be under control anytime. The perfect example is Jesus was gentle. That means when they were spitting on Jesus, they were pulling his hair, he did not open his mouth. He was gentle. He didn't burst into anger. He was gentle, under control. Goodness and faith. We know that without faith, we cannot please God. Now, if you are not living in Christ, these are some of the fruits we see on a true Christian. These fruits will not automatically come. It will grow in your sanctification as you grow in the Word of God. And there will be a definite change in your life. But you have to see these fruits. If you don't see these fruits, then you need to repent. Now, if you're not living in Christ, then you have no growth, no fruit. Instead, you're in the same way where you started, going on a straight line. Okay? But if you're in Christ, you should grow, but there will be ups and downs, but on the whole, you'll be growing. Alright? Now, Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now these are the ones who have no fruits. Okay? Their fruits are all evil, where God is going to burn them in the fire. Which are these? Let's go through. Adultery, fornication. Of course, we know this is all sexual immorality. Today, there is everywhere you find sexual immorality. Everywhere. Every place. You put the TV on. That's what you see. There's then uncleanliness. The word uncleanliness is opposite of holiness. It is morally impure. The world is uncleanly. It is morally impure. When you put the TV on, what you get is all moral filth. So if you are eating that, not the word of God, you are not going to grow. Okay? Jesus is going to put you, pluck you, and put it in the fire. Then he says here, lasciviousness. That's a hard one. What is that big word? We see this all the time. This is very closely connected to covetousness. Let me tell you what is lasciviousness. It means a lustful desire. It means a lustful desire. It means that when you see something, in the mall, or on the TV, or in the computer, or somewhere, you see something, and you have a lustful desire to get that. No matter what, I am going to get that. That is lasciviousness. There is no self-control. Remember, Eve fell into this when she saw the fruit is so beautiful to the eye. She wanted to get that. She was disobedient to the word of God. Remember Achan, in the book of Joshua, he saw a beautiful Babylon. God said, all these things are mine. I don't want you to take anything. These, all the articles are belongs to me. Everything belongs to me. But Achan, when he saw that beautiful Babylonian robe, he had this lasciviousness. He had lustful desire to break the law of God. He took it and he hid it. And God killed him. So there's no self-control here. Idolatry. Of course, idolatry. A lot of Roman Catholics, they are worshipping idols. Worshipping idols, images. Worship, and also the word idolatry, it means worship of any person or anything which you have strong affection upon. So it doesn't have to be all the time idols or image or any person. It could be a child. That is idolatry. And it could be your child, it could be a relative, it could be your husband. It could be a wife, and if you put strong affections more than the Lord, you are committing idolatry. Witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Doesn't mean witchcraft, it means the Greek word is pharmakia. It means drugs that control your mind. Drugs, but people take marijuana and all kinds of drugs that control your mind. Then he says the next one is hatred. How many times have you ever said, I hate this person. I don't like him. That's not bearing fruit. I dislike him intensively. That is hatred. Christians don't hate anybody. For a true Christian, you don't hate anybody. Jesus said, if somebody slaps you, give the other cheek. If somebody tells you to go 1 mile, go on another mile. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. See, there's a difference between the world and Christianity. So here, that's what the word says. It's very clear. What else? Here, then it says variance. I don't know what your Bible says. I'm reading here from the Old King James. Variance, it means dissension in enmity. That means you want to make dissensions between the body and having enmity. You know, some people like to have two people fighting with each other. They try to provoke a fight. Then emulation is to desire of superiority. This is especially when it comes to malicious rivalry. That means there's another person who wants to get this job and you want to get the job. And there is a superiority complex and you will backbite that person. You will do everything possible to break that person's personality. This is what is called emulation. This is a superiority, looking for power, looking for dignity, ambition. You know, I want to be like this. You know, if you remember King Herod, how he said, he didn't give glory to God. He spoke like God, and God killed him, as God put worms in his body. And this is what is called emulation. Then the next one is the wrath. This means a violent temper. It means the quick temper. It means something that you have a short fuse and you go boom, you go so angry. And the words come right from your mouth like a serpent. And you hurt people. And this is wrath. It's so violent, you don't know what time it will come up. And if you remember, if you turn with me to James chapter 1 verse 20, it says here, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So it says here very clearly, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness that implanted in the world, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not only hearers only, otherwise you will deceive yourself. So you don't be just hearers only, but you need to do. Okay? So these are the things, if you have these things, you need to fall down on your knees and pray. I know, I used to have a bad temper. You won't believe it. Real bad temper. I'll tell you. God took it away. I know my wife used to have a bad temper. And I'll tell you, there's a huge change in her. Big change. And that is because of getting into the Word, praying, and sometimes you need to fast. You know, you need this. You need to repent of these sins. Alright, so where are we now? Then it says verse 20, strife. Then there is strife, that is a quarrelsome attitude. Seditions, that means stirring up something to have divisions against each other. There is heresies, means false doctrines. Verse 21, envying, murders, drunkenness. Rebelling means rebelliousness. It means noisy, worldly, merrymaking, pleasure. It means worldly parties, you are always making a noise and drinking, talking loud. That is rebelling. And such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That should open our minds. We should take it seriously. What is he talking? If you're practicing these things, you will not go to heaven. That's what he says. That's what Jesus said. If you're not abiding in me, if there are no fruits, then I'm going to throw those branches, dead branches, into the fire. Very clear. So if you're continuing the about things, there's no desire to repent, no desire to change, no spiritual fruits in you, then you're a child of the devil. Now let's go to verse 7. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So don't let anybody deceive you, saying that, you know, it's okay for you, you know, this is your nature. It's alright, you know. God will change you later. You can go on. What you, you know, it's alright. So don't let anybody deceive you. During the time of John, there were Gnostics. And the Gnostics said, what you need is only knowledge. Well, it doesn't matter how you live. What you need is just knowledge. It doesn't matter how you live. Just hear what the Word says. So we need to be right before God, and we are righteous. So there is obedience. When God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the believer becomes righteous before men. If you are true, if God truly imputes righteousness to you, and you become righteous before men. And it's evident that the true believers, it is very evident to see the fruits in you. And it's very evident that you have the righteousness of Christ. It is one thing to talk and another thing to see that righteousness. It's so important. Verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now let me tell you that. The first sin, of course, came from Adam and Eve. We see that. And that came from who? From the devil. That's what it says here. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Right? Even from the very, even if you go even further, how Satan wanted to become like God. From that is from the very beginning. Every beginning, there's a devil who is there. Then even when God created man, devil is already there. It's a beginning. Even if you remember Cain, how he wanted to kill his brother, that was from the devil. What about the good religious Pharisees? They were good people. They were not the murderers. They were not the thieves of that nation. They were in high society. They were supposed to be the first class good people. They were the religious people. They were of the devil too. Because why were they of the devil? Because they were disobedient to the word of God. They did not follow Christ. How about Lot's wife? When the angel said, when you flee Sodom and Gomorrah, don't ever, ever look at Sodom. If you look, don't ever look back. But Lot's wife, oh, she was so worldly. How can I leave my gold, my beautiful things, my beautiful, you know, all the treasures that I have, the money in the bank and everything. How can I leave that? She has to look back. And she became a pillar of salt. How about Ananias and Sapphira? They lied, and that's of the devil. And here, John chapter 8, verse 44. If you turn with me to John 8, 44. Ed, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. And we see here, two sins coming here, either the children of the devil and the children of God. Then, on verse 8, it says here, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When the fullness of time came, Christ was born under the law, and his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil." See, there was a battle here. What is Genesis 3:15 says, there's enmity between the seed, the good seed, and the bad seed. There's always going to be enmity. So there was a battle. As soon as Christ's birth, the battle began. There was a battle between Christ and Satan. As soon as he was born, there was a battle. There's enmity between these two seeds. Okay? Between these two heads, there's enmity. Alright? If you remember, Christ, even when he was born, the devil tried to kill him. And how the angel appeared to Joseph and told Joseph to flee to Egypt. And also, remember, there was a battle in the wilderness. Between Christ and Satan, there was a battle. But Christ was victorious. Why? He was obedient to the word of God. Also, there was a battle in Christ's ministry. All the way through, there was a battle between Satan and Christ's ministry. If you remember, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews, they always were hostile to Christ. There was enmity, and they always wanted to come and persecute Christ. And also, there was a battle when he was just about to go to the cross, how his own Peter came and tried to prevent him, discourage him, not to suffer. There was a battle, and Christ said, "Away from you, me, Satan." And also, there was a battle just before going to the cross at the Garden of Gethsemane. And this battle was won by prayer, when Christ told his disciples, "Pray! Pray for me! Pray!" But the disciples were sleeping. And he's talking about going to the cross. His burden was heavy here. And they were sleeping. So there's a battle here. And again, there was a battle at the crucifixion. And in this battle with his enemies, they had put so much pressure on Christ before going just about. He was crucified. They came and pulled his hair, pulled his beard, and spat on him, did all kinds of persecution, and still he did not open his mouth. He could have destroyed him. Just with one word, he could have destroyed everybody, but he didn't. Then finally we see how Satan finally nailed him to the cross, and he said, "This time I got it." He nailed him to the cross and he put Christ to death. He thought, "I got it." And Satan thought he was victorious. But the third day came. Christ is risen from the dead. How Christ broke the power of Satan. Genesis 3:15 came to fulfillment, says, "Thou shalt bruise his heel, but Christ bruised his head." And Christ was victorious over Satan. His power was broken. Christ conquered death. The sting of sin was broken for the first time. And now people can come from the darkness to the light of Christ. Now verse 9. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." The new birth, it's a spiritual birth that is not on the power of man or on the free will of man. It is totally by grace alone. The author of regeneration is the Spirit of God. Once you are regenerated, you become a new creature in Christ. You abide in Christ. Before you were in Satan. Now you are in Christ. The old habitual sins are nailed to the cross. A new life has begun. You do not live in sin now, but you abide in Christ. You understand? You are not a slave to sin. You are not in obedience to sin, but you are a slave to a new master now. That is Christ living in you. If you are abiding in Him, you are living in Christ. Then you are obedient to His word. Then He says here, verse 9, his seed remains in Him. Our theologians, they differ when He says His seed remains in Him. What is this seed here? Some say, I'm going to say both, okay, I'm going to give both. Some say this is the renewing grace that God has given you, and that is the seed. This is the grace of the Spirit, the internal principle of grace that is in our soul, the new nature, the new man, that is the seed. That is new man that is formed in the soul. The seed, this seed contains all the grace of it. This is the renewing grace that is abiding in us, our new nature. Okay? We know this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, as Paul said, grace was given to us before the world began. So the seed that comes, God, these true Christians, they shall never be cast away. That seed remains forever. They cannot continue in sin. Then the others also say, the word seed here is, it could mean the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abideth forever. So this seed that lives forever. So I want to give you both. Okay, I don't know which is true. Only John knows, and it's very hard to distinguish. It could be both. Now, people who are born of God will become like Him as we are conformed to the image of Christ in our Christian growth. So kingdom of Satan, and there is a kingdom of Christ. Okay? Kingdom of Satan brings sin and lawlessness. Kingdom of Christ will bring righteousness. And here, if we have the Spirit of God, we will have holy affections to Him. We are governed by God. The word, when it says He cannot sin, it says here, and He cannot sin. Christians cannot sin? Huh? Yeah? I didn't know that. Christians, it says here, it cannot sin. That's what it says here. He cannot sin. Let me tell you what A.T. Robertson says. A.T. Robertson is a Greek scholar. When the scripture says, and He cannot sin, A.T. Robertson says, this is wrong translation. You know that. He says, the true word is that He cannot go on sinning. That's the Greek word that it should be, and he gives the Greek words here. Because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins and faithful to forgive us our sins, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. But if we do sin, we have an advocate. Okay? So we've got to take the whole context there. So let's go to verse 10 here. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Okay. So here it's very clear. Christians, if you're born of God, you know, then the Spirit of God that is in us, we won't have that continual pleasure of sin. We won't have that continual practice of sin. We won't continually do the same thing over and over, over and over again. There has to be conviction. Just like how Joseph said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Okay? And if you're born of the Spirit, you will have that. But if you're not born of the Spirit, you don't feel that way anyway. You have no convictions at all. So, verse 10 is very clear. It is the manifested. It says here, 1 John. Whoever has been born of God, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. It's very clear. You can see the fruits. That's what it says here. You know who is a Christian and who is not. You know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. There are two seeds. One is of the serpent, and the other one is from true God. Now, the seed of the serpent is known by the following, okay? Now let us see. We saw some of them in Galatians 5. Also, they have no interest in the word of God. If you are not truly born again, if you are in the dead branches, you have no desire, no interest, no excitement for the word of God, or you have no interest for anything that has to do with the living God. No desire, no hunger, no hunger for spiritual food. But of course you get all the desires, all the excitement, all the hunger for the worldly things, for the physical things. You get so excited. Getting excited for the world, but when it comes to the word of God, you kind of goes to lazy, goes to sleep, doesn't excite you, because you are not abiding in Christ. So there is no desire. They have no desire to take care of their soul, because they live in a lifestyle of sin. No desire to pray. Now let me ask you something. If you're abiding in Christ, you see Him and you know Him, right? If you're abiding in a person, you see Him and you know Him, right? Now, if you're not in talking terms with God, that means there's something wrong with you. You're not really abiding. Christ is a stranger to you. But many say they're Christians only outwardly. But they get so excited for the pleasures of this world. They are lovers of the world more than the lovers of God. They have no holy affection towards God, no genuine love for God. Jonathan Edwards said, they have a demonic faith because their faith is of the devil. Jonathan Edwards, today's quotation, read it. So it is plain that anything in the minds of demons cannot be holy or lead to a true holiness by itself. The demons clearly know many things about God and religion. So, of course, there are many Christians. But they do not have a holy knowledge. The things they know in their minds, they make impressions in their hearts. Indeed, we do see the demons have very strong feelings about God. Very strong feelings about God. So does other people who say they are Christians, but not really. In fact, they shudder. That means they have very strong feelings. But they are not holy feelings. See that difference? They are not holy feelings. Because they have nothing to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. If this is true of the experience of the demons, it is also true in the experience of what? Men. Now, one day, if you say that you are abiding in Christ, then one day, you are going to meet Christ. And you will tell Him, Lord, Lord. And you will strive to enter that narrow gate, and Christ will, and you will tell, Lord, Lord, open to us this door. You know what Jesus will tell? He says, this is what He will say. I know you not. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. He says, I don't know you. You say you know me, Lord, Lord, but I don't know you.
He said, "Oh, I came to church."
"Oh, 1 hour? You tried to know me? But you didn't live with me. You just came just 1 hour to church. You opened the Bible, you read some. And once in a way, you read about a little bit. But when it came to sin, you forgot me. And you're just going, enjoying your sin, excited, this and that. But oh God, you're not excited to me. Did we have a relationship? Did we have a relationship? I didn't know you. I don't know who you are." See, if I go to a man on the street and say, "I don't know that man," I say, "Hey, I know you," but he says, "Who are you?" But I can surely say, "I know my wife. I know my children. Because we have a relationship. We talk to each other. We love each other. We talk to each other. And wherever we go together. We eat together. Everything we do, we have a relationship." How much more with Christ? And just coming to church and hearing the Word of God once a day, or once in a way read the Word of God, that's not a relationship. Jesus said, "I don't know you. You've never abided in me." That's very scary. Very scary. As the same word when Jesus said, "I not know you." Luke chapter 13. Verse 27, 26. "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, 'Lord, Lord.'" See, these people are telling him, "Lord, Lord." That means they even believe that he is the Lord of their lives. "Open the door for us," and he will answer, "I do not know you or where you are from. You are a stranger to Christ." Then they will say, "Oh, we ate and we drank in your presence. You taught us in our streets." That's not enough. You didn't abide in him. You didn't live in him. "But I will say, I'll tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." You see that? They were living in sin. They were continually living in sin. Then what happens is, verse 28, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourself thrust out. There will come," you know, so here we'll see, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What is he talking? We are talking about hell here. We're talking about the lake of fire here. Just like the tree that does not produce fruit will be cast out. And also Jesus said, Luke 6:46, "Why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not... Luke 6:46, "Why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I tell you?" Hey, that's for us here now. But later, it's too late. You cannot say Lord, Lord. So what we have to do is to do what he tells us to do. Bear fruit. Abide in him. Do not continue in your sin. Okay, so do not continue in your sin. Alright, and you need to, when there is sin, there has to be true repentance. Repentance means saying, not saying, "God, God, I'm sorry for my sins. You know, everything's fine, dandy." That's not it. As, you know, look in the Psalms when the psalmist, the David, when they repented, they were crying grievously. Look in the Old Testament when they sin against God, they put ashes, they wore sackcloth, and they were beating their bodies, you know. That is true repentance. Repentance is true repentance. That means there is pain involved in repentance. Not just confessing a prayer and going to a person, "Okay, God forgive," you know. There is in true repentance. You come to the king as a beggar, begging him to repent and ask him mercy. That's true repentance. So what are you studying here today? something that is very simple, but very important. It's very clear that the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. And I'll tell you, we should be able to go and live without showing this Bible, and they should be able to say, this person's life is different. He's a Christian. Let's pray.